Small business, big advice. Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast, where small business owners, employees, or just marketing fanatics can learn how to grow a business on a budget without wasting any money.
Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast. My name is Shannon and I'm here with small business marketing consultant and expert Amy Miosevich. And today we are going to talk about the ways that you can convert leads to customers. So Amy, last episode we talked a little bit about CRM systems. So say I'm a small business owner. Mm-hmm. I've got a CRM that's working fine. I've started to collect my leads. How can we improve the conversion rate?
Okay. If you haven't been using a CRM before and you've started using it, I guarantee you will have already noticed improvements. Okay. Just from recording that information, from giving yourself reminders to follow up with people, etc. But there are quite a few ways that you can practice good marketing in this context, okay. I suppose. And I'm going to run through a few of them, see how much time we have today. Otherwise, if you've got time, we'll definitely do some more next week. But so you've got an inquiry coming in, and I want to preface, this isn't an e-commerce scenario because I understand this process relies on someone doing the selling. Mm-hmm. So a lot of small businesses, whether you are B2B or B2C, there will be a personal component that overshadows a lot of these activities. So the very first thing that I want to talk to you about is this idea of not being the hero.
Okay.
And we talked about it a little bit in the past.
Yep.
But when you have brought someone all the way from being a stranger to actually inquiring with your business, the last thing that you want to do is talk about yourself too much. And the reason is because this person obviously has a problem that they would like you to solve. Mm-hmm. And they're actually looking for you to convince them to buy your product and service. They're interested enough to give up their time to submit the inquiry or to make the phone call. And your ability to understand their problems and match your solution to that problems is the thing that's actually going to make sure that they convert. I have a really good story about this, and I'm not sure if I mentioned it already. Have I told you about the skirting boards incident? Okay, so
we can rehash though. I think it was like the first couple of episodes that we did.
Perfect. So we needed new skirting boards for the office, and I sent an email inquiry off to a company, and they never replied. And then like weeks later they replied. Oh no, weeks later they replied, and then I replied again, and then weeks passed after that, and then they replied ignoring my original email, and it just went back and forth for ages when I was desperate to buy these products because they were the only company that stocked it, for them to like not actually sell it to me. And I was so confused because this was the perfect example of underselling. They had given this task to maybe someone who was working part-time, maybe someone who was just sitting at the reception counter. There was
or not enough people to
do the job.
A job if they were getting too many.
Oh, it was hands down underselling at its finest. It was their job to deliver me a quote, but they could not even do that. So it was textbook bad experience. So they did not win my work. But the point of the story is they did not once ask me any questions about my business, location, what requirements I needed, what their product was going to do. I already knew that they were going to be the solution to my problem, but all she had to do was give me a call and ask me a little bit more about the project, a little bit more about how much I thought I needed, and actually focus on me in the conversation and in the emails rather than just talking about what they could do. Mm-hmm. So that we had the opportunity to interact and I could buy their product. So a lot of the time, if you're in a conversation, a sales conversation, and you call a business, the only way you're going to give them your work is if you feel like they really understand your need and that they're going to be the best person for the job that you have in mind. So the example we talked about last week was the gardening company. Mm-hmm. And I think I might use this as our example for today because goodness me, the skirting board company is not worthy of this conversation. But the gardening company, if they had received a lead, the last thing that they should do is talk about how great they are at gardening. Yeah. The first thing that they should ask is, well, tell me about your current garden. Like, tell me, what are the challenges? What do you want to achieve? What's the solution you've got in mind? Mm-hmm. What kind of schedule do you think would work for you? Like, how could we help you and support you? How are you the hero in this situation? How can I be the best guide for you? If you take the time to actually understand your customer's internal problems, the more you ask, the more you connect with them, the greater the opportunity for conversion is going to be. Because every single question that you ask is a better chance for you to tailor your quote to them, but it's also going to give you the best chance of being chosen as their solution to their problem, because you've taken the time to get to know exactly what that problem is.
Yeah.
So I guess the idea is that you always lead with curiosity and you focus on questions that don't have one-word answers.
Yeah.
So if I said to you, so do you like your garden?
Yeah.
Do you need a gardener?
Maybe.
Can I send you a quote?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what are your current challenges with your garden?
My current challenges with my garden is I'm getting a lot of weeds coming through. Oh, yeah. And I just really don't love how my patio is looking right now. Yeah. And I would really like a fresh little like veggie patch and garden bed, but I just don't know how to go about it.
Yeah, cool. All right. And what would be your dream for that patio space?
I have no idea.
Amy, I don't own a house.
Sorry.
So I guess the difference between asking, first of all, asking no questions. Hi, I just received your inquiry about your garden. Yeah, we can do your garden. It's $500 a month. Do you want me to send you a quote?
Yeah.
Or, so you need a new garden? You're not happy with your current garden? Mm-hmm. All right, can I send you a quote? Or, tell me about your current challenges with your garden. What do you want it to look like? Mm-hmm. I just want to ask you a few questions to see whether we'd be the right fit for you. I'd love to chat. Love gardens. There's a lot in that first set of questions and that first dialogue that you have with someone.
Yeah.
That first of all can be done a lot better over the phone. So if you do get the opportunity to get someone on the phone, I definitely think it's worth it. The second thing is that the more you spend with them on the phone, like the longer that you spend, the more time they think that they've invested with you, the more likely you are to win the sale. And the more that you have the opportunity to go, you know what? Yeah, weeds are a massive problem in Perth at the moment. Like, I don't know what it is, but we are seeing weeds everywhere. And it's just changed the way we've been thinking about the service we offer because, you know, and just having a bit of a dialogue like that where you really start to connect with the customer where you're like, goodness, I hate weeds. And you're like, I hate weeds too.
I've got so many of them.
Weeds. Oh, my gosh.
Another interesting thing, funnily enough, from me even saying, like, I don't know what I want to do with the garden. But also you have to leave some space for the fact that your customer might not always know exactly what solution it is they're after. And I think by taking that time to really tease it out of them and to have that discussion with them, you might find out that they want a little bit of consultation from you. They want your advice. You're the professional. They've come to you for your service for a reason. Yeah. And if it were me looking for help with my garden and all I know is I just don't like the way it looks and I just want someone to come and have a look at it and see what the space needs and just help me. You've got way more capacity to upsell. Like Amy said, you can maximize your quote. You're not just kind of cutting the conversation short by making assumptions or by asking those really closed questions. So I think, you know, don't overestimate what your customer knows either. Don't underestimate, but let them tell you.
Yeah, give them a chance. Because straight away, you know, you could be thinking she wants maintenance, but really when you get talking, it's that she doesn't want maintenance. She actually wants a whole change in her garden, which means that when you inevitably deliver just maintenance, she's not really going to be that happy because you haven't really taken the time to get to know what she wants.
Yeah, I think an interesting example would be like if you go to the doctor and you just go in and you ask a prescription because you've got headaches. And you know, all you know yourself as a patient is, I've just got headaches all the time. I just want a prescription because I've got headaches all the time. But then a GP that you would probably value more than someone that just gives you the script would be someone that investigates.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in your life? Tell me. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you sitting down in an uncomfortable position? Have you got bad posture? Is it something to do with your sleeping? And then, you know, in terms of your quality of experience as a patient, you would probably come out of that consultation thinking like, I'm really well cared for. I've got a plan. I know how this is going to happen in the future rather than just walking away with a prescription. And I think that's kind of a good example of giving a really short, snappy, to the point service versus a well-rounded, holistic.
Yeah. And you're always going to choose the business that provides you with that over another company that just gives you what you've asked for, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So a lot of these services, in fact, a lot of the time, if you're dealing with a lead, you could be one of two or three or four or five other businesses that have received that phone call asking for a price or asking for a service. And the better you can do at connecting with them, the greater your likelihood of being the one that's chosen is. The other thing that you can do with some of these exploratory questions is test the ground. This is, I'm going to say this is an advanced technique, but you can test the ground to see kind of what problems they're actually intrinsically experiencing. Mm-hmm. So as you're talking to me about your garden and you're talking about weeds, I go, do you spend a lot of time, you know, picking weeds? And then you go, oh my gosh, so much time. And I'd be like, yeah, like it's just one of those things, isn't it, that takes up so much time. In fact, garden maintenance takes up so much more time than you realize, doesn't it? And then you go, yes, it does. And then you go, okay, well, they're time poor. I know one of their things is time, like they're being time poor. Yeah. So then when you start talking, you go, look, we know how long it takes to keep this stuff sorted. We can come in once a month. We can look after all the maintenance for you. We've got a team, which means we can be in and out of there in 5 hours. It means you never have to touch a rake all month. And then they go, oh yeah, I get all that time. What am I going to do with all that time?
Yeah.
That's another one. Another one is, what you just said before, the design's not quite right. So if you kind of hinted to me that, you know, I'm not that, you know, enthralled by the garden at the moment. Like it's not inspiring me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good opportunity for then, you know, for me to be like, there's so many amazing plants at the moment out there that are just so inspiring, and the trends in landscaping has changed so much, and there's so many really cool things that can be done to just really create this space that you just are obsessed with being amongst.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's something that clicks, then you can go, okay, well, you know, I can actually come out and do a consultation for you. We can plan the space together and we could see if we could bring any of this stuff to life before winter. And that's another way, I guess, of kind of trying to figure out what those problems are so that you can put yourself in the best position to be the one that's chosen. And that whole thing is about not talking about yourself first and putting their stuff first. Mm-hmm. So it's even starting with just like a friendly introduction. Listening and actively demonstrating interest, offering on-the-spot value. So again, you know, these trees are actually really popular now and that would be kind of great in your area near the sea or whatever. Ending the conversation with a promise to deliver something is another really cool one that kind of ties into this. So look, I'll send you some info about the design service that we offer. And there's also this Pinterest board that I've been putting together on modern landscaping. I'll send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly what's happened is you've gone, okay, well, they've promised... They've given me on-the-spot value. They've heard what I'm talking about. They're going to send me the quote. But then they've also sent me something a little bit extra, which is what I was after actually all along, was design inspiration. I didn't realize, but after a chat, it's actually something that I wanted. And that brings me to the next part of this conversion optimization that I wanted to mention, which is adding value for free. So adding value for free is a very interesting concept, and a lot of salespeople use it. It's this opportunity to give someone something when they haven't asked that sets you apart from your competition. So sending through that Pinterest board is an easy way, if you've identified that's what someone's after, it's an easy way for you to stand out from the other people that are bidding for the work.
Yeah.
And that's just one way that you can do it. There are so many other ways that, I mean, even us, you know, as a business, when we meet with organizations and we focus on getting to know them really well, a lot of the time we can seek stuff that we have come across in our time that could help them. And again, we talked about a little while ago, just getting a little bit closer to where they want to get to. So maybe an article that we've read online or something that we see that reminds us of them. And it's adding value along the way where they feel like we actually do care. And not just that, it actually makes them want to reciprocate. So we talked about that a little while ago as well, which mm-hmm. is the idea of reciprocity. So repaying in kind something that you've received subconsciously. And if someone's given away value to you for free and another company hasn't, which one are you going to choose?
Yeah, you're going to feel more inclined to return the favor.
Yeah. So if you've reached out to three different landscaping companies that offer garden maintenance because that's what you think you're after,
yep.
And if company one replied to your email and just said, we charge $500 a month. Company two sent through the quote via email, but then also followed up with a call. Hey, I just want to make sure you actually receive that quote that I sent through. I just want to make sure I'm on the right track. Can I ask you any further questions about your garden? But company three calls you straight away and starts by saying, Shannon, I just got your inquiry about your garden. I'd love to have a chat. Is this a great time? Yeah, this is a great time.
That's your voice, by the way. We can talk right now.
Yeah, we can talk. tell me what it is about your garden that you need a bit of support with at the moment. Like, what does maintenance look like to you? Tell me what you love about your garden. Tell me what you don't love about your garden. Tell me what the perfect outcome would look like for you. What are your goals? How much time is blah, blah, blah. That, and then after that, he goes, okay, well, Shannon, I've actually got this really great Pinterest board that has some ideas of how we can maintain that particular succulent garden that you were telling me about. I'd love to send it to you. Can I have your email address? I'll send you this. And also, I've actually just been at a garden in the area that looks kind of similar to what you're describing. I'm going to send you a picture of what that looks like after we've been there and maintained it a bit. And you might be able to even pop down to their place and have a look because their front yard looks pretty great. I'll send that to you now. And I'll also send you through a quote for that. And I might actually also send you a quote for a design service if you're interested in that down the track too. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Perfect. All right. Well, it was really great talking to you, Shannon. I'm going to send that through today.
Great.
And give me a call anytime. Otherwise, oh, this is another thing. Oh, I don't want to get into sales 102. But is it okay if I give you a call back next week and just see how you went with the quote? You can't say no. That's just crazy. You have to say yes.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. And if I don't then leave me a voice. I don't know. No problem, Shannon. I'm going to give you a call next week. And then don't forget to give them a call next week because that's really important too. But out of those particular options, which one are you going to go with?
Definitely number three.
Well, it has to be number three. And I mean, unless you're like a real like introvert recluse and you felt like number three came across too strong because I was coming across strong.
I definitely can empathize with, but I think level of service, no matter whether you're introverted or not, I think you can see the value of what you're getting. And you can see it's a care factor as well. You feel like you're cared for. You feel like you've had a conversation with someone that really wants to understand you. They really want to help you with your problem, not just sell you a $500 package.
Yeah.
And that makes you feel different as a customer as well. Or as a consumer, you want to feel cared for. We all just want to be loved.
Yeah, we just want to be loved. And look, that kind of stuff, that was non-monetary. Mm-hmm. So that's the stuff that you didn't give them away a discount or anything. Mm-hmm. You've just added a little bit of extra value to the conversation.
Might be a longer conversation.
Yeah,
but,
it's just a little bit more. And there's something that we do quite a bit, which is just divulging all my secrets. But anything I see online, if I'm halfway through a process with a customer where they've inquired and they've said they'd think about the quote or whatever, I'll always keep an eye out for anything I think they might find valuable and just flick it through. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if they've said no, I'll still flick it through because that's the kind of value that I know that they're going to appreciate. And you know, at the end of the day, even if they never work with us, hopefully it helps them get closer to their goals. And that's the difference between really caring about the clients and not really caring. And that's, again, this middle part in between overselling and underselling. You've got someone that genuinely cares about their clients, and that really only comes from founders. And you see it so much in small business, and it disappears often when your business gets bigger and bigger and you're putting people into the mix alongside you. So,
but I do think and something that kind of crossed my mind in the last episode as well, I think it comes from founders, and founders have that heart and soul because that's why they've started the business in the first place. But I think as long as you keep your staff informed on why these things are important, you know, if you understand this concept of why you're taking the time to have a 15-minute conversation with a potential customer as opposed to a 5-minute conversation or just an email, I think if you educate your staff and if you really take them along on this journey with you, they'll understand and see the value in that as well. And you know, I think that's kind of all part of building your internal brand and making your staff and the people around you just as excited and just as invested in your customers and their journey as you are. Because they have to, like, you know, your staff, I mean, I know everyone just kind of goes to work and that's that, but your team have to have some kind of investment in your customers and your client base. And I think as long as they can kind of see the value in all of these things, I think then they'll get a bit more excited and more invested by it.
It also, having that also creates, I guess, the permanent change that you need. So if you did all get together and everyone really was invested and you were all quite transparent and aligned on stuff like this, it's easier for you to make a change that everyone's excited about and for that change to stick. If you think about culture and really good culture, often culture is, I guess, good culture is the catalyst for a lot of permanent change management and a lot of high performance, and it's very, very important. So that's, I guess, all set part of the same thing. If you really like take the time to bring your employees and your staff and your team on that journey with you, the higher chance you're going to have to not just convert customers, but to create this system within your business that's going to exist forever. Mm. Like, it's such a valuable thing. I mean, one of the things, and this is going back to a technical part, one of the things that a CRM does that a lot of businesses don't realize is it captures the knowledge capital within your business that can disappear quite quickly without it. So when I talk about knowledge capital, I mean like it's the knowledge that lives within your entire business that is often never codified and captured.
And well, you could have Roger, who's worked in the landscaping business since its inception in 1982. And Roger could retire.
Yes.
And if you don't have a system in place to get all the information out of Roger's head into the business, then Roger's going to leave and you're going to have no idea who your customers are and who's been in touch in the last 20 years.
Even beyond that, like asking, like, you know, what kind of tools do you use organically as part of these conversations? What kind of trends have you noticed? Anything. I mean, to be really honest, when I was at uni, I did a unit in commerce on knowledge capital. Mm-hmm. And it was very weird because I actually think I failed that unit the first time I took it, and I had to take it twice, and it is the only unit at uni whose textbook I have kept, whose and the information within it I have referenced so many times with clients. It's because the idea of sharing, codifying, capturing knowledge capital applies to so many parts of business, especially businesses that rely on people to execute a lot of the tasks. So there was a lot of info in there. There was a lot of case studies, and I still reference them a lot today, but there was one in there that I remember. It was a large organization that do, they do like these stalls. And they get different divisions of their business and different teams to set up stalls, like cake stalls, every month. And they rotate through and they set up something, and it has to do with the project they're currently working on. And everyone goes from stall to stall, learning a bit about what this particular group is doing as part of their role or what project they're working on to share knowledge capital. And we talk about it in a lot of contexts. And one of them, yes, is directly relating to this and converting leads to sales, how we talk about capturing the founder's knowledge and their knowledge about industry and clients and relationships and conversations and all that kind of stuff. But we actually talk about it a lot with content marketing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. It's because in an organization, you might have a big organization or a medium-sized one. Say you have 200 staff. And that's, I guess, still a small, medium-sized business. But if you've got 200 staff and they're all working on different projects and you are in a marketing role, you would benefit so much from having a kind of formal knowledge sharing arrangement where you could learn about the projects that are happening around you so that you can add value and they can add value to what you're doing beyond, you know, the value they could add to each other's work.
Yeah.
If you could find a way of sharing knowledge to improve the value that you are then taking out to market, then you're always going to do better than a company that has a really siloed marketing and sales team.
Yeah.
So knowledge capital is such an interesting part of small business.
Yeah, I actually I have this thing that I think if you've got the capacity to have an internal marketer or marketing team, I actually think that they should be as integrated with the other arms of your business as they possibly can be, because and it's something that we have talked about here quite a bit. You can't do your job as a marketer if you don't know what the business is doing, or you don't know what projects are coming up, or what's in the pipeline, or any struggles that staff might come up against because there's not enough information out there about a particular product or service. And I'm actually, like, I think it's really important for marketing to underpin everything kind of within your business,
yes,
as much as it possibly can, and not sit outside as another arm of the business. I think,
yeah,
it's like IT or something where it's like every single person will benefit from
having someone
a good IT system, yeah, just like they would a good marketing,
oh, yeah, yeah,
process.
Definitely. Look, it's such a double-edged sword though, but like, and we talk about this all the time, having someone internal, often businesses can only afford to hire one or two people internally, mm-hmm, and they're expected to be like a marketing unicorn, and that also poses a problem. It's such a hard thing to get that balance right,
yeah,
and I'd love to be able to have the solution for that, but the reality is that marketing is a really hard thing for small businesses to tackle. There's so many different facets involved, and I mean, mm-hmm, we've even talked about it here, like when you're exploring marketing channel, yes, the process of creating the marketing strategy and choosing the channel should always lie within the business, but often you'll need this technical component which is external that that you have to go out and find because you don't have the skills internally. So
yeah. And that's where agency is handy, because we have so many of the skills readily available.
We just don't get to know the businesses as well as someone.
But if they still
there,
had that knowledge sharing,
yeah,
because there's no reason why as an agency you couldn't have access, and you know, there's some information that would always be private, but you could have access to some form of that.
Oh yeah,
knowledge,
yep,
database,
yep,
and then you know exactly what you're dealing,
yep,
with.
I mean, knowledge in a sense, there are so many ways of sharing it. I mean, a lot of companies have like intranets and staff newsletters, and we do lunch and learns internally,
yeah,
and we,
yeah,
share knowledge and things like that. Imagine if you had a sales team that had 3 or 4 people in it, and every Monday they all reflected on the sales opportunities and challenges that they've been experiencing over the last week. If everyone's working on different leads that are coming in, and you actually take the time to go, oh, I was dealing with this person, this is my experience. There's so many ways to collaborate and share information that can benefit, mm, all parties.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to sit in on sales meetings with a particular client, and well, we facilitated them, I think, every single week. And everyone was dealing with, they had a lot of people in the team, but they were all doing it voluntarily, like part-time, and they would all share stories and go through their list of open leads and talk to each other about them. And there was always so much extra value that would come from just that sharing. Other people might go, oh, I actually look after a client or project, whatever, that's nearby, and this is what they found useful, and you should send them this thing, and I read an article about this, and blah, blah, blah. And there's so much opportunity from even just sharing in a small circle.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So definitely when it comes up to, when it comes to like communicating with leads as part of a sales process, this example of I guess getting to know them and taking the time to understand them, their problems, asking lots of open-ended questions, that's definitely a game changer. I mean, if you're on the phone with them and you're talking for more than 50% of the time, I think that's a not great way to start a relationship with someone. And then the other one is adding value for free. So that's the other one I mentioned. I think that adding extra value and giving it away in some capacity is also a pretty big game changer. And then setting up this way of sharing knowledge and formalizing how you can communicate with other people in your business to improve your performance, that's also a really big one. So there's just a few that I definitely think are going to change your process. Look, there's so many, and there's a few more that I want to talk about next week, because I definitely think it's important to cover off just little things that can change the conversations that you have today. A lot of this can be implemented right now. The next time someone calls, if you take the time to implement some of these things, I'm sure you're going to notice a difference.
Yeah.
Look, if you've got any more, if you've got any more suggestions or any specific examples, I'd love to talk more about that next week. So if anyone's got any messages that they can send through to the podcast, then we can talk about them next week in our session. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to go through a really, really specific example next week, I think.
Okay.
So
intriguing.
Yeah, well, I figured it's about time that we really put some like some real life examples in here, so that we can almost test and share through story experiences. So that's what's up next week.
Great.
So thanks, Shannon.
Look forward to it.